All right, welcome back. I'm going to talk to David Hertel, our feature brought to you by the folks at Guaranteed Industries, who remind you they have been around for more than 75 years taking care of Montrealers' needs when it comes to air conditioning and heating, and they can take care of you too. Give them a call, 514-342-3400. And remember, they're a Lennox Premier dealer. That is Guaranteed Industries. You can get them online as well at GuaranteedIndustries.com. David, any place you'd like to start today? What's that? Oh, of course, I'd love to. So we were talking about the Olympic Stadium a little earlier in the show. For our listeners who don't remember, don't know, you, of course, were head of the Olympic Installations Board for many years back in 2013. And I've used your quote today, David, to suggest that I think there's a second, an alternative, if you will, use for the Olympic Stadium in terms of using it as a landmark. You suggested it is a landmark, and you called it our Eiffel Tower. So my suggestion was, let's follow that, and instead of sinking all this money into it, because it's never going to be a venue for a professional sports franchise, I think we can both agree on that.
Yes, we can.
Okay, it's never going to be anything more than an occasional performance venue. So
agreed.
If we have it as a landmark, like they do for the Eiffel Tower, we could start charging people. We can put a little film together, something inside that might make it interesting to walk around, just make sure the building is okay and structurally sound. A few people like the idea. What do you think?
I like where you're going with it. In terms of the Eiffel Tower, and you know, and I'm going to start by saying I'm going to put myself in the group of people that have grown up with the Olympic Stadium, that have gone through all the few ups and many, many downs of this institution. But when I called it the Eiffel Tower of Montreal, in terms of the city's landmark internationally, this has been verified many times by independent polling and other organizations than the Olympic Park itself, that when you ask people in Quebec, the rest of Canada, and around the world, what is the most dominant landmark, which landmark do you think about when you hear the word Montreal, the Olympic Stadium is number one, and by far. It's not Place Ville-Marie, it's not Mount Royal, it's the Olympic Stadium.
Well, what happened to St. Joseph's Oratory?
It's on the list, but okay. It's not number one.
Oh.
No, but you could go down the list of that. We have a lot of landmarks, no doubt, but number one by far is the Olympic Stadium. Now, and also, I just want to say, like, over half of Quebecers weren't born in 1976. And so not everybody shares our personal experience with everything that has gone wrong with this place. Now, the tower itself, if you set aside the stadium piece, the tower itself actually now today is a success. The observatory, when open, when operational, draws 400,000 people annually. The actual tower itself, the body of the tower, has been occupied by Desjardins now for many years. It's office space. It's rented office space, fully occupied by Desjardins. And the base of the tower, which is the aquatic and sports center, draws itself. It's one of the state-of-the-art across Canada. It's one of the best aquatic national centers that we have in the country. It draws over 400,000 people a year. So this is not a complete bust. The stadium itself, I totally agree with you. What I would do is that, yes, I would have a part of the stadium that would honor its history, the fact that we did host the Summer Games, and yes, there were some very important events, and it is a cultural landmark in itself, in and of itself. I would have a place to honor that, and yes, you could charge for that. What I would do with the rest, quite honestly, I would go for an international competition and try to turn it into some sort of mixed use where there would be residential. We have a crisis right now, and in terms of building homes. And I think we could use this space. The Esplanade, the exterior of the stadium, actually, when it's functional, draws another 200,000-400,000 people a year with outdoor free shows and paying shows actually as well. And so it can actually be something that could work out, and you could turn it into something that actually serves the population and serves us more, because you mentioned quite accurately. Now, this story today, there's going to be more of these stories. I'm convinced that as further we move along in this project, there's going to be, oh, we didn't think of this. Oh, we forgot that. Oh, we just discovered that. And on top of that, we haven't even looked at inside. I mean, both BC Place and BC Place in Vancouver and Rogers Centre in Toronto have just got through in the last few years major modernizations of the interior, and we're looking at, I think Toronto was over $300 million for this, a working baseball and concert stadium. And so we're looking at least $1.5 billion if we want to do anything. So instead, I would take $200 million of that $1.5, take out the roof, and make, because the first 11 years of its existence, the stadium worked fine without a roof. Mm-hmm. And for the remaining $1.3 billion, I would put that towards converting the stadium into a multi-purpose, where there would be residential, commercial, cultural space. I liked Val's idea of some sort of community garden space. We tried to do that outside, actually, when I was CEO. It worked. There was a community garden outside, and we gave what we grew to community organizations, to soup kitchens in Oslaga Maisonneuve.
Oh, wait a second. We've gone from a landmark where it'd be like a museum or history to now we're going to have a communal garden. How much can we have at the same time going on here?
This is a huge space. I think you could have.
Okay.
You can walk and chew gum with this type of space. Okay. I think we can integrate.
Uh-huh.
And I know in government we're not very good at walking and chewing gum at the same time, but all I'm saying is that I'm agreeing with you, but I think we can honor the history of it and charge money for it, as we charge money to 400,000 tourists a year to go up the funicular and go to the observatory.
Right.
We already do that, but I think we can actually develop with all this space, because you have no idea that the huge space that we have just under the seats and everywhere and underground. I mean, there's a lot that can be done. And I think that part of it could be residential, part of it could be commercial mixed use, part of it could be cultural museum, and part of it could be also gardens. And I when I was there, I was looking at TV and film studios for part of it as well.
One of our calls, by the way, suggested that sell it to a movie studio and as part of the movie, blow up the whole thing and show that in the movie.
Blowing it up, it makes, to me, no sense, because it is a cultural landmark now, and we have to deal with it. We have a checkered past. Yes, it's true. All you've said and all you've said throughout the decades about it, Aaron, I agree with. But at the same time, let's make lemonade.
So, David, when I hear ideas that make sense or are logical, my first reaction is no wonder the government won't do this.
Of course.
So, we can talk about this till we're blue in the face.
Mm-hmm.
This government now, let's assume the CAC even weren't in power because there's an election in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
What changes? I mean, governments have already invested this money. Is this what we're stuck with?
I we'll see. We'll see what happens in 26, because obviously it's not like the work is going to begin in a week. I mean, we don't know exactly, you know, the contract's been signed, but there's so much prep work for something like that.
Yeah.
And maybe a different government would do something different. I don't know. But if you know, politics, a lot of things change. Contracts are given and contracts are taken away. Who knows what happens politically. But, you know, again, for now, there is a contract. We'll see what happens. But again, you know, who knows what will happen a year, two, three from
now. Last question is, I don't know, I think you might know this. How much, what does it cost to operate that facility every year?
You mean the stadium itself?
Yeah.
I don't have the annual report with me, but I mean, the thing is that there's operations and there's maintenance. Every year, you know, you're talking about the entire Olympic Park, not just the stadium, but the entire Olympic Park, we're talking of over 1 million tons of concrete to maintain. And there's always, you know, it's like infrastructure. It's like a bridge. It's like a building.
It's got to be taken care of. Okay.
So that's obviously the operating budgets and the employees. It depends on the numbers of events and this, that, and the other thing. It could be $10, $15, $20 million a year. But then you always have at least a $40, $50 million a year in basic maintenance, upkeeps, rebuilds, and work that has to be done.
It's crazy how much it costs to maintain.
It's huge, though. But it is crazy.
Right.
And I'm agreeing with you that we have to find ways to generate as much revenue as possible. And this is obviously not the best way. The revenue projections are completely made up. There's no logic. There's no way a stadium can function as a stadium and make money without having at least one permanent major sports tenant. It's been demonstrated. And in terms of the roof, you know how many roofs have the weight of the roof distributed between two structures in the whole world? One, the one in Montreal. And 40% is supported by the bowl and 60% by the tower. And the fact is that nobody in the entire world, a few years ago, when the government went out in a call for just interest across the world in replacing this roof, you know how many companies bid on this?
None?
Zero.
Okay.
Nobody has ever done this. So with all due respect, yes, I know this is two very respected Quebec companies, but nobody's ever done this successfully.
Okay.
So it's going to be a huge challenge, and of course it's going to cost much more money, but then you haven't even started with the inside. So why not take all this money and try to turn it into something for the next 50 years that will serve the common good?
And that's where we're going to leave it. David, I thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Have a great weekend,
you too.